Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, Elon Musk making a surprise visit to China. Can Tesla take a bigger bite out of its China pie after Musk's meeting with top officials?
If Musk succeeds, he will be the exception to a lot of what we've seen before.
Beijing hinting at potential retaliation against Washington. This after the White House approved military aid to Taiwan and a bill that could force TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company. The man overseeing U.S. forces in the West Pacific sending a serious warning about China. What's his biggest concern before handing the reins to his successor? And extreme weather batters China with hail and heavy snow over the weekend, plus a look at footage of the devastation left behind by a deadly tornado. Is Tesla on its way to revive its sliding market share in China? Company owner Elon Musk wrapping up a surprise visit there Monday. He met with a slew of high-level officials, from China's prime minister to the head of a top Chinese trade body. The latter gave Musk a word of thanks.
I just want to thank you for your participation in the first edition of the China International Supply Chain Expo. I think the supply chain is of the hot topic, not in China, but worldwide.
Musk reportedly had two big asks. One, approval to roll out its full self-driving software in China. And two, the overseas transfer of data collected by Tesla cars in China. NTD reached out to Tesla to confirm, but did not hear back before airtime. Musk appeared to have made progress. Chinese authorities lifted a major restriction for Tesla following his visit. A state-backed industry association said Tesla cars would be allowed near sensitive areas like government and military facilities. China also announced that Tesla and five other Chinese EV companies had passed China's data security requirements. Some experts told The Washington Post that it's a good sign, as data security has been one of Tesla's biggest hurdles in China. Beijing has kept an eye on Tesla's EVs. They have been banned from entering some sensitive locations, like military and government compounds, as well as some airports and train stations. Plus, all data collected by Tesla cars in China has been stored in China. The Chinese regime does not allow the company to transfer that data overseas. Tesla shares jumped 12% Monday following Musk's visit. Musk's China visit comes a week after postponing a planned trip to India. He canceled a meeting with India's prime minister, citing obligations at Tesla. China is Tesla's second largest market, trailing after the U.S. His China trip comes amid a slew of troubles, intense competition from domestic brands, sliding market share, and slower customer demand. Tesla cut its prices in China as it scrambles to compete with Chinese EVs. Though for foreign businesses operating in China, concerns of intellectual property theft remain. The regime has been trying to replicate Western know-how, eventually to replace its rivals in the market. Who's really gaining from Elon Musk's trip to China? Gabriel Scheinman, executive director of the Alexander Hamilton Society, joins us now to discuss the Tesla CEO's surprise visit and conditional deal on self-driving cars. Gabriel Scheinman, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, following Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to China, Elon Musk had a surprise visit there. To begin, what's your reaction to his visit?
Well, the visit may have been a surprise, but his presence in China is obviously not a surprise in the sense that he does go regularly. China is now a huge market for Tesla. In many ways, the future of Tesla is probably entirely dependent on how it does in China. And given the earnings release from Tesla just a couple weeks ago, the saying that it has missed a bunch of earnings markers and that it's actually declining in terms of sales compared to a year ago, it's even more crucial that this delivers for Elon Musk than even a few months ago.
The Chinese regime seems to have promised something to Musk, but in terms of a long-term perspective, how likely is the Chinese Communist Party to keep that promise?
Well, I mean, if Musk succeeds, he will be the exception to a lot of what we've seen before, which is we've seen quite a number of American companies go into China, theoretically under joint ventures with the idea that they could be able to produce, lower their production costs to be able to sell to the United States and to Europe, as well as tap into, you know, the Chinese market, which is larger than the American market and larger and has the potential to be larger than the American European market combined. And yet each other every time, what we've essentially found is that these companies, and now you have, I think, more and more testimony from these companies from their past efforts come out, these companies basically say that they've been taken advantage of, that they've actually lost the proprietary nature of their technology in particular, that they have been forced to make a certain number of compromises and business decisions that restrict their own profitability in ways that they never would have had to do so in the United States or in Western democracies. And so slowly, 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 many have actually left either because they've been pressured out or ultimately forced out because the Chinese government has at various points even arrested or raided the offices of a number of Western companies in China. And so if Musk managed to succeed in this, then he will truly be the exception.
To your point, we have seen a lot of companies talk about those joint ventures, which ends up in terms of intellectual property theft. There's now a lot of talks about national security when it comes to dealing with communist China especially. But in terms of this with Elon Musk, are there any economic security concerns here?
Well, I mean, I raise it a little bit further, which is the other thing that we should note is that while the debate in the United States was going on over whether Congress should pass this bill, which it ultimately did pass, and the President of the United States did sign to potentially force the divestiture of TikTok from ultimate CCP control, Musk came out against the bill. I suspect that because the businesses are interlinked, that if he had supported the bill, it could have been negative consequences of his business for Tesla, which is run in China. So to your question about economic security, I think part of the problem that we have here is that a lot of these things are intertwined.
Gabriel Scheinman, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hints of retaliation from Beijing. China is vowing to take, quote, strong measures against the U.S. after President Biden signed two bills into law. One of them seeks to boost Taiwan's defense capabilities, and the other requires TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company ByteDance.
We urge the U.S. to respect China's core interests and major concerns and not implement the negative China-related provisions of the above-mentioned bills.
President Biden last Wednesday greenlit a $95 billion military aid package, includes nearly $2 billion worth of U.S. weapons for Taiwan and other allies in the Indo-Pacific. For decades, the Chinese Communist Party sees the self-governed island as part of its own territory and has vowed to take control of it by force if necessary. That's despite never having ruled it. Alongside foreign aid, the new TikTok bill gives the social media app 9 months to sever ties from ByteDance or else face a ban in all American app stores. Experts and U.S. lawmakers have long warned of national security concerns linked to TikTok. Many have accused the China-owned app of spreading propaganda while harvesting sensitive data on U.S. users. Outside of the U.S., TikTok is facing a round of restrictions from across the globe. A number of countries have already banned the app from government devices due to national security concerns, including Australia, Belgium, Canada, the Netherlands, and Norway. The European Union, France, and New Zealand have ordered government workers to delete TikTok off their personal devices as well. Back in 2020, India issued a nationwide ban on the app over privacy and security concerns. Aside from security, the China-owned app is also being choked out for its contents. Countries like Nepal, Pakistan, and Somalia have either barred or are working to bar TikTok for spreading, quote, extremist content and indecent materials. Worth noting, TikTok was never made available inside mainland China. Instead, its parent company, ByteDance, offers Douyin, a Chinese version of the app that abides by Beijing's censorship rules. Taiwan says it spotted more Chinese military activity near its shores over the weekend. That report just one day after Secretary of State Antony Blinken ended his visit to China. Taiwan's defense ministry says it detected 22 Chinese aircraft, including fighter jets, on Saturday. The defense ministry said 12 aircraft crossed the median line of the Taiwan Strait, an unofficial divider separating China and Taiwan. The ministry added the aircraft also crossed Taiwan's North Air Defense Identification Zone. While visiting Beijing, Blinken said he stressed the critical importance of maintaining peace and stability across the strait. Beijing says it doesn't recognize the median line and regularly sends aircraft across it. The Chinese Communist Party sees Taiwan as its own and has threatened to take control of it by force if necessary. The CCP has never ruled Taiwan. Beijing's military activity getting more dangerous. The warning comes from the outgoing head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, John Aquilino. He said China follows a boiling frog strategy, meaning Beijing gradually cranks up tensions so the countries underestimate the danger of China's threat until it's too late. That's in an interview with the Financial Times. During his command, Aquilino has seen China's pressure campaign toward Taiwan increase, both in scope and scale. Now, Chinese fighter jets regularly fly over the unofficial divide between the two sides. Chinese Coast Guard troops have also been acting more aggressively toward Taiwanese islands located close to China. Another of Aquilino's concerns involves a disputed shoal in the South China Sea. Both China and the Philippines claim the shoal as their own, and Chinese Coast Guard ships have been acting more aggressively, ramming into Filipino boats, firing water cannons, and directing lasers at Filipino crews. All this to stop them from supplying troops on the disputed shoal. This March, Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned Beijing that an armed attack against Filipino vessels would trigger a response from the U.S.
These waterways are critical to the Philippines, to its security, to its economy, but they're also critical to the interests of the region, the United States, and the world.
Important to note, a high-level treaty between the U.S. and the Philippines mandates that the nations must defend each other in the event of an attack. Aquilino is set to hand over command to Samuel Paparo, commander of U.S. Pacific Fleet, next week. The head of the Chinese Communist Party is set to visit France, Serbia, and Hungary next week. The visit comes as tensions between China and the EU are on the rise. It's also Chinese leader Xi Jinping's first trip to Europe in 5 years. The tensions are partially due to cheap Chinese exports that are flooding European markets and China's support for Russia as the war in Ukraine continues. Zooming in on Xi's visit to France, Beijing said China is looking to enhance cooperation with Paris. That's after Paris backed an EU probe into electric vehicles imported from China. And after Beijing launched an investigation into a key French export, brandy. At least five are dead in China after a tornado ripped through the country's north over the weekend. That says other cases of severe weather plagued the country. A deadly tornado has killed at least five people and injured three dozen more, tearing apart a large warehouse and damaging factories. Up in northern China, Hebei province saw a blast of winter temperatures over the weekend, plunging to lows around 23 degrees. Heavy snow also blanketed the region. Further south, a hailstorm lashed another city, dropping egg-sized hailstones on buildings and car windows. On top of that, floods have swamped the densely populated Pearl River Delta, following record-breaking rains over the past 2 weeks. Some reports have even sparked commentary online. A video posted on social media captured the moment when lightning struck a Chinese flag, reducing it to ashes. The video is now making the rounds online and prompting discussion on social media. COVID-19 seems to have faded from Western media headlines, but this may not be the case for its origin country, China. After noticing the lack of official coverage on the pandemic, NTD reached out to many local residents and professionals working in the medical field across the country. Here's what they told us.
Locals in China are reporting a rise in sudden deaths across different regions, with people suddenly passing away after being diagnosed and treated for symptoms usually tied to the common cold.
The deceased are mostly elderly individuals who, after testing positive for COVID-19, developed pneumonia and passed away. Compared to previous years, such as 2019, the numbers of deaths in 2022 and 2023 were significantly higher, with more cases of sudden death. I've noticed that there are more cases of sudden death among people aged 50 to 60. They just suddenly died. I suspect it's still related to the pandemic.
Liu is a practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine. The systematic study is rooted in Chinese culture and has been practiced for thousands of years.
Today I just saw a few people. Based on my understanding, it seems like they are positive for COVID-19.
Another Chinese doctor echoed Liu's concerns. There are many illnesses going around, affecting both adults and children, regardless of age. Also, many have died after getting vaccinated, or they're getting all sorts of illnesses like heart attacks, strokes, and leukemia.
Liu also reported another bizarre situation popping up in China.
There are often no findings indicating problems with the blood vessels of the heart when patients get electrocardiograms, ECG, or CT scans of the heart. Additionally, there are no abnormalities in cardiac enzymes, but the person will suddenly die anyway, where the heart just stops beating.
China has stopped publishing data on sudden death numbers nationwide. The last time it updated the death toll was in 2018, roughly 1 year before COVID-19 erupted in the country.
Coming up, when the Chinese communist regime turns to economic bullying, the U.S. has a task force to step in. That's according to a new Bloomberg report. More on what one department in Washington is doing to help. China officially announced plans to mediate talks between two Palestinian rivals, Hamas and Fatah. This comes as Beijing looks to increase its influence in the Middle East by competing for it with the West. And traveling back to ancient China with New York-based Shenyun Performing Arts. Audiences in Newark, New Jersey say the performance brings a message of divinity. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Standing up to the Chinese communist regime can have serious economic consequences for other countries. Now the U.S. is offering guidance to nations under pressure from China, according to a Bloomberg report. The report says it all started in 2021. Beijing tried to retaliate against Lithuania just after the country opened a diplomatic office with Taiwan. Washington decided to intervene at that point. It formed an 8-member team called The Firm inside the State Department. Now, the group helps countries when China deploys economic and trade tactics to solve political disputes. The report says since then, countries across Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Europe have requested advice on how to deal with or ready themselves for economic strain caused by China. Communist China has confirmed a plan to hold talks for Hamas and its rival Palestinian group Fatah. Both leaders already flew to China. The U.S. designates Hamas as a terrorist group, while Fatah has gained some support from the West. For Hamas, the visit marks the first time it has openly announced a visit to China after the group launched terror attacks on Israel last year. But won't be the first time China and Hamas have spoken. Beijing said a Chinese envoy met with a Hamas chief in Qatar last month. At the same time, Beijing is not hiding its desire to increase its influence in the Middle East. Recently, China has pushed for Palestine to join the United Nations. The region has not been recognized as a state on the international stage. Beijing has also declined to condemn Hamas since war broke out there last October. That's despite calls to do so from the U.S. and Israel. Theatergoers in Newark, New Jersey discovered 5,000 years of traditional Chinese culture and values over the weekend at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. Inspired by China's rich heritage, Newark-based Shenyun Performing Arts showcases stories that span ancient times to the modern day. One audience member shared that he took his daughter to the show to help her understand the challenges that are faced in China and for her to get prepared for the future so she can stand for liberty and divinity. Watch.
Shenyun Performing Arts hit the stage at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center with 5 performances over 3 days, starting on April 25th. The company tours the world with a mission to rekindle 5,000 years of traditional Chinese culture and values from a time before communism.
I think that there's a lot of value in traditional culture, so I think it's a good mission. I think it's important for it to maintain positivity. A mission like that.
The stories that were explained before each of the dances was just wonderful to share the culture and to understand all of the things that happened before communism.
So it's very important for people to learn, about a culture and not just about the present, but also all of the history. I think from their passion of showing, making everybody understand the past, what China had and what's been destroyed, so that you can really tell that they are are looking to make everybody understand, you know, how beautiful, you know, it was.
Inspired by China's vast history, Shengying tells stories of myths and legends, along with true stories concerning the communist regime's current persecution of faith.
I saw, you know, again, like the spiritual practices are being, you know, persecuted over there. It's hard for them to live in total freedom, you know. So, you know, hopefully, you know, God willing, these guys keep up the good work and, you know, just, you know, make China, you know, more prosperous and more free and able to live, you know, better lives, you know.
The message of divinity and the idea that my daughter needs to know that communism isn't China, and the spirit and the history survives despite the challenges. Or in today's day and age, it needs to be, the message needs to be spread, right? And that's why I need my daughter at 8 years old to start to understand in a small way that the challenges that are faced in China, we need to understand it so she can be prepared for the future, so she can stand for liberty and divinity.
Through the medium of classical Chinese dance, music, and storytelling, Shengying's performances also embrace themes of spirituality, which is found at the core of traditional Chinese culture.
I guess I feel that the Creator's always here, offering salvation in all circumstances, in a way. Like I say, if we're able to see it, because this is just the physical form here, but the spiritual form is always present.
It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or anything, honestly, the spirituality comes through and it connects with people. And it's a way to explain to the American people and all people that the value of independence and freedom and a belief in God.
Shengying will next perform in Stamford, Connecticut from May 9th to the 12th. NTD News, Newark, New Jersey.
That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.